Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and of course today we're going to be talking about Tesla's Q4 delivery and production report, which came out this morning. First of all, congratulations to Tesla for an incredible quarter. I think this surpassed pretty much everybody's estimates. We're going to talk a lot about that throughout this episode. Second off, first episode of the new year, so happy new year everybody. And third, sorry this is a little bit late today. As I said earlier, unfortunately I was on a flight today, and it was not a good experience. About 14 hours of travel for me today. For something that was supposed to be about 4, and did it on about 3 hours of sleep. So that's why this is delayed, and bear with me if I make any sleep deprivation errors. But let's get into the numbers here. So as you can see on screen, as I'm sure everyone has heard by now, Tesla ended up delivering 308,600 vehicles. This beat Wall Street consensus estimates by 16%. This is one of the biggest beats I can ever remember. And of course, as we talked about, I do think the true expectations were probably a little bit higher than what that Wall Street consensus number was. But even if we assume that expectations were somewhere in the 280,000 range, which is kind of, you know, where I think they were at, this is still about a 10% beat on what we assume the whisper number ballpark was. So really good, very, very strong quarter here. In terms of my estimates, obviously, they surpassed them, beat my production forecast, which, you know, I obviously care a lot more about production forecast, by about 10,000 vehicles. So about 3.8% better than I was expecting. So really, really happy to see that. Just great numbers here for Tesla. Great way to start off the new year. And then in terms of how the split broke down, we actually pretty close on Model S and X, about 13,000 Model S and X, and then the remainder coming to Model 3 and Y, 292,000 vehicles. And we're going to take a look at the split by factory here as well, because I think we're going to get some pretty good insights from these numbers. But just to quickly then touch on the total 2021 numbers, definitely worth reflecting on. 930,000 vehicles produced for the year and 936,000 vehicles delivered. I was looking back at the consensus estimates at the end of Q4 last year, and it was somewhere in like the 720,000 range. I don't know. I can't remember exactly, but Tesla smashed estimates for the year compared to where they were at the beginning of the year. So I think Tesla has a lot to be proud of this year. It hasn't been simple. Remember, there's been challenges the entire year in the supply chain. And even with that, even without Texas and Berlin being able to start production, Tesla's still completely obliterating Wall Street consensus estimates, both for the quarter and for the year earlier on. So let's take a look at Excel. We'll hop into just a couple of charts here because I think it's fun to look at the visual. So I can flip over. And then we'll, of course, go through those charts as well, those tables. So this is just a visualization of, you know, what Tesla has done this quarter and this year. So we've got the quarter on the left and then the annual numbers on the right. Shanghai is, it's just a stacked bar column here. So Shanghai is the lighter blue. And you can just see, you know, it's fun to watch this hopefully massive S-curve start to take shape. And we're really, I think we're right in the middle of it right now as we start to get more factories online, and you're starting to see that from Shanghai. And if we take a look at this 2022, 2023, you know, we're obviously going to have Berlin and Texas in there doing the exact same thing that Shanghai is doing right now. So fun to see it. And I think the visual really emphasizes how strong this year was in particular for Tesla, and this quarter. You know, this is by far the most additional vehicles Tesla's produced in one quarter versus the previous quarter. So production, deliveries, all around really great stuff here. So let's hop into the chart, because I think this will give us some insight into why we always are looking at these numbers, which is to try to understand where Tesla's at and where Tesla's gonna be at in the future. And I think this gives us some pretty good insight. So I did my estimates on Thursday. After we did those estimates, we had that Tesla analyst Shanghai Twitter rumor that there were about 70,500 vehicles delivered in China in December. So I think that was, you know, I was looking for a number greater than 60,000. That was a significant beat on sort of what I had expected there. Looking at how China's inventory was built throughout the year, they'd built up about 6,000 vehicles or so in inventory year to date. So I'm going to assume that most of those, if that 70,500 number is correct, which obviously we haven't confirmed yet, but if that's correct, I'm assuming that Tesla kind of just drained most of that inventory. That would put production for December somewhere around 65,000 for Shanghai, which I've got here. Doesn't really matter. Well, it does matter the split, but I'm just, you know, kind of putting in rough guesses here based on what we saw in October and November for the split between the Model 3 and the Model Y. But I think the most important point here is that if the number is somewhere in that 65,000 ballpark for December, that sort of validates the numbers we were talking about from October, where we had really strong production, assuming that that downtime in that first week of October was real, which again, as best I know, that was the case. And we saw a huge hit in November through those weekly rates. But again, the information that I have is that that was supply chain related. So I think this quarter, we're definitely seeing signs of the supply chain issues easing. And we're going to talk about Fremont in a second, but I think that's a huge factor in this beat. And I think Fremont was able to not be as constrained as what we saw in Q3, you know, kind of obviously, but to a pretty significant degree. But anyway, what I'm saying here on China is that, you know, we're somewhere around 7,400 a week for both, a little bit shy of 15,000 per week, combined Model 3 and Model Y at Shanghai, which is pretty close to the 15,500 that we saw in October, if we assume that that week of downtime did happen. So you're at about 95% of that rate. And there still may have been some constraints here in terms of supply chain or whatever else. But what I think that does, I think it validates that that rate as we head into 2022. So I think if you say, okay, Tesla pretty much at 15,000 a week out of Shanghai right now, that gets you somewhere in between 700 and 750,000 vehicles in terms of the annualized run rate. So that's good. And then we go over to Fremont here and we'll come back to the total, but if Shanghai comes out 65,000, that leaves 128,000 for the quarter left from Fremont. And obviously it's pretty easy to annualize that rate, comes out to a little over 500,000, about 510,000. So I'll just touch on the total here and then we'll come back to sort of the split here for 3 and Y and S and X from Fremont. But if we assume that Fremont is, you know, at that 510,000 rate, we assume Shanghai is at 750,000 or so, you're already at a little over 1.25 million in terms of Tesla's current production rate. And if we look next year, I just mentioned what the expectations were for Tesla heading into 2021, sort of at this time last year. If we look at the current expectations for Tesla heading into 2022 right now, the consensus estimate is only 1.275 million. So 1,275,000 vehicles is the current Wall Street consensus estimate for 2022. And, you know, Tesla last year exiting the year, so Q4 run rate, Tesla was producing, I think I have it in my notes here, but maybe I didn't jot that one down. They were producing 180,000 vehicles was last year's Q4. So 180 times 4, I think it was 720. So Tesla was able to produce 30% more vehicles than the Q4 run rate last year. And right now, the Q4 run rate this year is essentially the same as the consensus expectation next year. So if Tesla's able to follow some sort of similar overachievement there, which I think is possible, we might see another year again of Tesla beating expectations by about 30%. I think that's definitely on the table, potentially even a little bit more. So I think a lot to be excited about with just the run rate that we're seeing here, obviously with the 305,000 putting us over 1.2 million, Tesla passing a million run rate for the first time on a quarterly basis. They did mention on the Q3 call that they were hitting that rate, and now we see that that was sustained throughout the quarter and then some by a significant amount. And I think the, you know, Shanghai, I think we're seeing overachievement to what I had sort of most recently expected. Obviously we had a little bit higher numbers in here after October, but then a lot of this beat, I think in terms of my prediction or my estimate, I think is coming from Fremont. So again, we'll have to wait till we get those China production numbers reported, but look here at how the Model 3 and the Model Y production is coming together, because again, we don't know the split here. We kind of always have to estimate, unfortunately, the Y versus the 3 split at Fremont, but regardless, summing these up, if this number is correct or close, that puts Model 3 and Model Y combined production at 115,000 for the quarter, versus in Q3, it was only 99,000, 100,000. So Tesla was able to add 15% production capacity, or, you know, not add production capacity, but get 15% more utilization out of basically the same amount of equipment, most likely, here in Q4 versus Q3. So really seeing Model 3 kind of get back to last year's level is my guess. I think I have Model 3 here a little bit higher just because maybe Tesla has a little bit more battery capacity since the, or maybe Tesla building a little bit more Model 3s since they can build more Model 3s with the finite number of batteries. I don't know exactly where Tesla is constrained at this point in time, but that's why I've got Model 3 a little bit higher, because obviously Model Y out of Fremont is obviously using all large battery packs right now with just the long range and performance being offered. Anyway, that's not really either here nor there, but if we look at SNX then, I wouldn't say it's a disappointing number. It's, you know, kind of what I expected, but we're continuing to see, you know, SNX be below what Tesla's production capacity is, which they're trying to hit 100,000 per year, and actually even a little bit higher than that. And right now there's 13,000, that comes out to, you know, about half of that production capability that Tesla hopes to have. So we're just kind of continuing that slow ramp, but once Tesla gets that back, they should be doing, you know, 115,000 3 and Y here, plus the 25,000 model SNX. So we'd be at, sorry to just do some math on the spot here. I did note some of this down, but sometimes it's hard to follow my notes. Anyway, that'd be 140,000 a year once we get SNX to their full capacity, assuming no further increase in Model 3 and Y. So you're at 560,000 then from Fremont, which is really close to the stated capacity that they have, which is 500,000 Model 3 and Y and 100,000 SNX. So good to see Fremont picking it up. And again, Tesla's talked about hopefully expanding that capacity by about 50%. We don't know if that means up to 750,000 or maybe up to something more like 900,000. Hopefully more towards the latter, but I think we'll get some more insight into that next year. All right, so I think that's a lot of what I wanted to talk about. I just want to make sure that there's nothing. I do have other points here, but I'm just making sure I'm at the right spot in my notes here. So let's talk deliveries just for a second. I think you all know I don't care too much about deliveries, but we definitely saw Tesla. I was expecting inventory to drain. It did not. Or sorry, I was expecting inventory to build, and it ended up draining, which was surprising given the comments about ending the quarterly delivery wave. Generally, that is, you know, the inventory drain is sort of a result of that, especially when we're coming off a quarter that already happened. So I was surprised to see inventory decrease here. Tesla is right now only at 4 days of supply, 4 days of inventory. That's extremely, extremely low for the automotive industry. The norm, somewhere like 60, 70 days. And obviously Tesla's going to be well below that norm just in general, based on their sales model being direct, not throwing cars on dealership lots. But it's still just an insane difference. Much more efficient use of working capital for Tesla with that low inventory. So it's good to see to an extent, but just be aware that Tesla is in a pretty low inventory situation right now, and that could come back, you know, around the other way at some point. Just for context, Tesla at 4 days now. Last year at the end of Q4, they were at 11 days of inventory. So it kind of gives you some perspective. We're at a third, not on a vehicle basis, but on a days of inventory basis from where Tesla was last year. Okay, so I think the only couple of other points with this super high delivery amount, we see deliveries up 28% quarter over quarter, 71% year over year, total year up 87%. Production numbers, you can see they're pretty similar. A lot of the increase coming from Shanghai, of course, doing about 484,000 vehicles this year, versus Shanghai last year was at 154,000. So a huge increase, obviously, from Shanghai, but then a nice little increase from Fremont too, even factoring in some shutdown time last year. So the point that I want to make here about deliveries is that with these being up 28% quarter over quarter, we should see really, 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 really incredible operating margins for Tesla in Q4. This is what I've been talking about for literally years now. The operating leverage that Tesla is generating is, we're finally starting to see it come through, and it's not even fully coming through yet, but I think people, the market, is finally starting to understand like how ridiculous it is, and we're just going to see more of that this quarter. Tesla really didn't, I don't think they would have added really any equipment to get this number versus what they had in Q3. So their fixed cost basis is basically going to be the exact same. Maybe it changes a little bit, but then you're adding, what, 70,000 cars here? Let's just do some. I mean, why not? Why not do more live math, right? So we had 306,000 minus 237,000. So we've got another 16, perfect, 69,000 vehicles this quarter. Not exactly, but and then let's just say, average selling price on those of 50,000. That's an additional $3.5 billion in revenue, and it's not going to be exact because of leasing and things like that. But $3.5 billion in additional revenue, and let's say there's a 30% gross margin on that. That's going to get you pretty easy $1 billion of extra gross margin. That, again, because the operating expenses, the fixed costs portion, are going to be pretty similar. We'll go through all that, closer to earnings, but a lot of that is just going to fall down to the bottom line right away. So it's going to be very interesting. And again, this is before we start getting all that software revenue from FSD. So yeah, Tesla is an insane company. The other thing I want to kind of point out here, this is just kind of a fun fact, but in the first 2 years, Shanghai ended up producing, so it was 484,000 this year, and last year, 150,000, as I said. So about 640,000 in its first 2 years of production. It took Tesla at Fremont, 7 years to accomplish that amount of production. Obviously, things were very different, but still pretty incredible to see that Shanghai has done 7 years worth of Fremont production in its first 2 years. So, just again, another way to highlight the progress that Tesla is making. And hopefully, we'll see Giga Texas, Giga Berlin emulate that to some extent here over the next 2 years as they ramp up. And I think that really highlights how much potential there is. 2022, for sure, there's a lot of upside. I think we've talked about how I think Shanghai could actually be somewhere around 1 million vehicle run rate. And then we just talked about Fremont. I think there's potential there for 1.6 million vehicles between the two, at least in terms of a run rate. I don't know if that's going to materialize out throughout the entire course of the year, but there's certainly more room in Shanghai from those production rates that we're seeing from those videos, plus Fremont, and then layering in Berlin and Texas. I don't have huge expectations for them this year, but kind of the point that I was trying to make here is that look at the progress that Tesla made in Shanghai from year one to year two, 150,000 all the way up to almost 500,000. That's what we're going to see in 2023 from Berlin and Texas. So super, super exciting to think about how that ramp looks, and hopefully those stages of the ramps go more quickly for Berlin and Texas because of all the things they're doing, 4680, structural battery, front rear castings, all of these improvements to the production process. They might cause this year to be a little bit slower of a ramp, but once that inflection point hits, I think it's just gonna, be even quicker at that point. So very exciting. A couple of other fun facts here that I have noted down. Tesla this quarter built more cars than they did from the start of the company to the start of 2018. So like what, 3 years ago? That's just the rate of growth that Tesla has. I always kind of like looking at that. And then I think this is maybe my last fun fact, but Tesla this quarter with the 308,000 deliveries delivered one car every 26 seconds on average throughout the entire quarter. So kind of fun to think about that, and also pretty crazy. But let me just take another quick look through my notes, and then I'm gonna pop in a chat here. I'm sure people have some thoughts and questions, so I'll stick around a little bit for that as well. And maybe I'll just throw these charts on here while we do that. So yeah, let's see. So we should get earnings in. I haven't checked the calendar too much. It's a little bit unknown with the scheduling. So Elon is going to be on this call. He said he was going to do that product roadmap update for Q4. So we should see him on the call, which could mean Tesla gets a little creative with the scheduling. But I would expect probably January 24th or 26th. Tesla's done Mondays and Wednesdays before, and it should be the fourth week of January. They're always 1 week later on the Q4 calls, just because it's the annual report. So I assume it takes a little bit longer to prepare, and they use that extra week. So those are kind of the dates I expect. Thank you, Tom, for the super chat. I'll just go through and see if there are any others in here. Any questions? Can probably hear a dog out in the hallway. Yep. Oh, while I do this, I can tell you a little bit more about my traveling. I was down in Austin, not for an Elon interview, unfortunately. I just want to make that clear. I know whenever I travel, people get excited that maybe there's something coming, but yeah, don't get excited. Hopefully at some point, but not from that. Thank you, Grantos. And don't think I see. Thank you, John, as always. Yeah, I'm not seeing a lot of questions, so that's good. Hopefully that means the recap was good. Buck asking if I'm doing an interview on a different channel. No, I'm not. I've not been asked, so I'm not sure what that's about, but no. Okay, I think that's all of the super chats. So yeah, let's just talk a little bit about like the market and maybe the reaction. I think you guys know that I'm not super keen on talking about that stuff all the time. One, it's hard to predict. Two, everyone has different circumstances. Three, no financial advice, like all of these things. But obviously, as I said at the opening, this is one of the biggest beats I remember for Tesla. Sometimes it takes the market a while to figure that out. The common refrain is 3 day rule, which I think for cases like this where it's such a significant beat doesn't necessarily apply. But you might see a strong reaction tomorrow, and then that would could continue on. And it's going to be interesting because it's not something we've talked a lot about on Tesla Daily, but there's some discussion on gamma squeezing, which we should probably just go through on like a different episode. But Tesla is by far the highest options activity stock in the market. So that options activity can have an influence on the underlying stock, which I think we've talked about a little bit in the past. But with a surprise like this, you could see more traders jumping into those options, and that could then have an even more significant impact on sort of the underlying action too. So it could be a pretty interesting week. I'm not going to make any predictions. Obviously, I think the market's going to react positively to this. And when you think about something like that 3 day rule, analysts are going to have to update their models, right? I'm sure some analysts right now are working on it tonight. We'll probably see some notes later tonight, I would guess. But certainly pre-market tomorrow, I would expect, a fluster of analyst activity. And obviously all of that is going to be positive based on what Tesla's reported here. I would be surprised if there was a single analyst that had a number even within a few percentage points, a couple percentage points of this. I haven't seen an individual breakdown, but I don't recall anyone having expected from the analyst group having expected more than 300,000. So we should see updates. We should see increases. They're going to do the same thing that I just talked about with modeling Tesla's additional revenue from all these additional deliveries, modeling how that operating expenses shapes up, which is going to be pretty similar to Q3 in my opinion, and that's going to just lead to earnings increases, EPS increases. So yeah, I mean, there's really nothing bad in these numbers. really nothing at all. I mean, the only thing that's like, I wouldn't even say bad, but just even neutral, like not a strong beat, is the SNX production. But that's fine. It's 13,000 vehicles out of 300,000. So, it doesn't matter. So, yeah, I think we're going to see a lot of activity from analysts tomorrow. I think the market's going to react strongly. But we'll see. Those are kind of just my thoughts as we head into to the evening and into tomorrow. Let me just make sure. Thank you, Kamikazik. Appreciate that. Oh yeah, and just I guess maybe kind of a last thought. Oh, thank you, Gus. Appreciate that. Maybe just kind of a last thought here. I know not everyone watches the FSD beta videos because it's just not everyone's interest to watch me drive around in my car for 45 minutes, but I did just have some final thoughts at the end of that video if you're interested in checking those out. They are, that is all time stamped. So yeah, if you want to check that out, those are like my final thoughts for the year. But yeah, I think that's all I've got to say for now. I'm gonna go eat. It's been a long time, and then I'm just gonna go to bed. But thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being patient with the not being able to jump on this immediately this morning. We did get one more super chat here from Gus. He says, "I'm getting my delivery in a month or two, and not sure whether or not to get PPF and ceramic. Was it worth the money for you, or should I just keep my money in Tesla?" Good question. Right now, my car is very dirty, and it's been quite dirty for a long time. It's tough to keep it clean here in the Milwaukee winters. So I kind of need to do like a deep clean of it, and then probably do some investigating on how that's all holding up. I definitely am glad I got the PPF, ceramic cases out on that, I guess, still. Okay. Oh, one more. Thank you, Alan. All right, I'm gonna hop off, guys, before I just spend too much time rambling here. But again, appreciate it. Hope everyone had a great New Year's Eve weekend. And yeah, let's look forward to hopefully some exciting movement this week in Tesla. I'm missing one more. Okay. Thank you, Hamant. All right, I'm putting my end screen on. I got an end screen now, so I'm gonna throw that on. Thank you guys for listening. As always, make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And of course, we'll see you tomorrow, sometime after market close, for the January 3rd episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.